Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna keep on loving you, 'cause it's the only thing I wanna do.
Turns out everyone does sound better in the shower.
And it turns out the General is a quality insurance company that's been saving people money for nearly 60 years.
'Cause it's the only thing I ever do. I never stop.
Can't unhear that.
For a great low rate and nearly 60 years of quality coverage, make the right call and go with the General.
I want every worshiper in the house standing now. It's been a few years. Just when the devil said it was over, God said he was going to get some glory out of it.
For your goodness and your glory.
Inside your story.
Oh, how we worship you. Yes, we
do.
For
your
goodness
and your
glory.
No, no, no.
For the joy inside your
story. All the joy in your
glory. Oh, how we worship
you. How we worship you.
Given up yet. Get your hands in the air, start again.
Everything about me.
Yeah.
something else to tell you. Listen.
And I have a minute. And I have some memories. You see everything you're going through. Oh, it's just another test for you. And well, God, I'm gonna leave you know. He's gonna do everything he promised. Oh.
All right, all right. Welcome to another product of WBNN. This is The Work Is Done. I am your host, Pastor Kev, and we are on air now, broadcasting live out of Lagos, Nigeria, where you can call in tonight, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And this is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Again, this is The Work Is Done with me, your host, Pastor Kevin. That was one of the all-time greatest, John P. Key, one of my favorite gospel artists. Tonight on The Work Is Done, we are talking about the true originator. The true originator. You know, and I'm glad that, you know, that song was a great segue into tonight's topic, because tonight I'm talking about, you know, gospel music and this form that gospel music has taken over the last few years. And it's a form that a lot of people, you know, have a problem with, because, you know, some people don't like the fact that secular music been engrafted into gospel music. You take artists like Kirk Franklin, who uses what is called secular music, and, you know, puts the gospel flair on it. But I want to take you back to the beginning, or actually before the beginning, but the beginning as we know it. When you read Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, everybody who knows anything about the Bible knows Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. And it says that in the beginning, God created. He created. All right. So he created the heavens and earth. But before that happened, because God always was, you know, there were things that were already taking place where God was. But, you know, it says that in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. Now, one of the things that had been taking place in heaven, the heaven that we know of, was God was always about being worshiped. You know, that was one of the reasons why he created us. The Bible says we were created to worship him. One of the ways that he enjoys being worshiped is through music. So music didn't have its origins here on earth. Music was already established. It was already created in the heavenlies, being said. What the enemy likes to do with the things that God created, he tries to take them and then use them for his means, for his so-called glory. All right? So that's why you have the term now secular music. But because God is the true originator, I believe, and this is what I, you know, I'm telling you what I believe. I believe that when you have gospel artists who use secular music and then transition that and transform it back into gospel, what they're doing is really taking back what God had originally created and intended music to do, because everything was created for the purpose of giving God worship and glory. So music in and of itself is not evil. People use it in evil ways. But when you take something, you know, because that's one of the things I'm sure a lot of you guys heard, you know, we're taking back Shirley Caesar. I believe it was Shirley Caesar who had a song, taking it back, take back what the devil has stolen. So to me, that's what gospel artists are doing. So now, you know, you have a lot of people whose form of worship in a lot of churches are still, you know, hymn based. You know, a lot of churches you go in and they grab your hymn books and turn to hymn, you know, such and such. And that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, for me, I like a more contemporary feel. I like more contemporary music. You know, artists like John P. Key and Jay Moss and Kathy Crowns and the Newsboys, you know, Chris Tomlin. These are just a few of the artists that I listen to. There's nothing wrong with the hymns. But, you know, for me, the style of music has changed. And if you want to reach a generation that's, you know, more used to hearing a more upbeat tempo of a song, they may not be drawn to the hymns. You know, I remember the church that my wife and I came out of, one of the things that attracted me before I even heard the pastor speak for the first time, the one thing that drew me in was the praise and worship. And it was at that, you know, it got to the point where, like, babe, we got to get to church. I got to get there for praise and worship because I am a music person. I love music. And, you know, the praise and worship, it just ignited my spirit. And that set the tone. It set the atmosphere for what the pastor was going to do. So by the time the pastor came out, my spirit was so high. I was on so much fire. I was on fire for God that I was ready to receive the word that was about to be ministered. But it was all because the atmosphere was set by the praise and worship. When you read the Old Testament, you know, there was a battle that the instruments, the musicians went before the army. You know, they, matter of fact, let's look at some scriptures tonight. You know, because I want you guys to really see, I want you to really hear what the word is saying as, you know, as I go through this, because it, when you put your eyes on things, it kind of really brings things to light for you. So if some of you, you know, if you have your Bibles or if you have pencil and paper, you can write some of these scriptures down. I'm going to read Psalm chapter 33, verse 3. Psalm 33, verse 3. It says, sing to him a new song, play skillfully with a shout of joy. All right. So, you know, when he says sing to him a new song, there are a lot of things that are new to us. They may not be necessarily new to God, but, you know, there are things that are new to us. So it doesn't matter what style of music that you're listening to, as long as you're using it to honor God. That should be the focus. You're using that song, that praise and worship, that music to engage in worshiping your creator. All right, let's look at another one. Psalms 100. And what I'm going to do for this, I'm going to read you the entire Psalms of 100. It's not that long. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. See, because this is what God likes. And he didn't say, oh, well, you can't use this type of music or you can't use this instrument. You can't, you know, it just has to be one way. He says, come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. But do you see how, you know, these are the Psalms. So David was a worshiper in and of himself. And one of the things that David did, David knew how to worship. He knew that. And, you know, one of the things that I love about David is that when the Ark of the Covenant had been stolen, when him and his guys went and got that thing back, David was so excited when they were coming back through the city. He was so excited. His wife looked out the window and saw him jumping up and down, and praising God. And you can find that in 2 Samuel chapter 6. You know, and it got to the point where, you know, his wife got upset about it, watching him dance in praise. Look what's that? It says, and so it was, you know, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all his house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. What happened was what the enemy had stolen. The enemy army had stolen the ark of the covenant. And when David and his guys got it back, he was so happy for taking back what the enemy had stolen. That's how he showed his joy, by dancing and rejoicing. See, when you get to that point where you learn that you can take back what the enemy has stolen from you, that should call for a time of rejoicing. You know, some of you, the enemy has taken your joy, and you gotta get your joy back. He's taking your happiness. You know, how does he do that? He allows situations to come up in your life. You know, hardships, trials, and tribulations. And it's not always the devil. And I need y'all to understand that. It's not always the devil. Some of the things that happen in people's lives is a result of their own actions. Understand that. The devil is not like God. God is omniscient. He's omnipresent. That means he knows all and he's everywhere. All right, come on. You know what, brother? Oh, come on in. Let's see what you got.
Well, listen, man. You know, you moved me back. I had a whole soundtrack for John P. Keeby. You reminded me of the old days, how I grew up in the Church of God in Christ, and how the songs moved people. They allowed people to get convicted. Okay, that's a big thing there. Okay, you know, you talked about worship services. I had to get to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That's David, as everyone knows, David. And he met that. You know, this is the man that shouted with the Ark of the Covenant butt naked, okay, because he was so happy. He shouted out his clothes. So this is something tonight that I want to share with everybody, man. The grand songs of the Church of God in Christ given to you by the great Smokey North.
Somebody say, it's the blood. It's the blood. If you would learn how to plead the blood over your family, if you would learn how to plead the blood over your children, you would see a transformation like never before. Somebody just say, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood. Oh, come on, this is the stuff we used to do for communion. Yeah. These are the songs that carried us. It washed as wine. Come on, sing it like it's Sunday morning. Say, oh, the blood.
Oh,
yes, Lord. You can It's in the blood. You can find it in the blood of Jesus. That's healing. Yeah. It's in the blood. And just in case the devil stole it from you, there is your joy. And it's in the blood. Yeah. Mama, thank you for telling me I could find
Lonnie Aloysius Beverly, Sr., Holy Trinity Church of God in Christ, the first ecclesiastical jurisdiction in New Jersey, Bayonne. Now back to Pastor Kev.
And, you know, that was the sound of, you know, the church back then. And, you know, they sung the songs that moved them in that time period. And again, nothing wrong with taking it back sometimes. But at the same time, just like we honor those songs, you know, we have to honor the ones that are being played today. But and people have to get out of the mindset that just because something new, it must not be good. Because people don't know how to transition in the mind to go from one aspect to the next. And, you know, but it was songs like that set the trend. Those were the songs that, you know, when you talk about praising your way through your victory, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. But you have to understand the importance of the blood, and you have to know the power of the blood. And that's what people were singing about, because that praise is important to God. And just like I was telling you before, how the praise went before the battle. Over here in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, look at verse 20. So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you shall prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army. Here's the key to that. He appointed those who should sing. Not everybody's appointed to sing. See, that's why you hear me teach and minister about staying in your lane. You know, now, yes, he says, make a joyful shout to the Lord. Some people say make a joyful noise. You know, but sometimes your joyful noise should be kept in the privacy of your own home. Amen. But he appointed those who should sing. And, you know, and here's what happened. You know, they went before the army and they were saying, praise the Lord for his mercy endures forever. Look what happened, though. Now, when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. Because the singers were praising. Now, imagine you have whatever's going on in your life, whatever trial or tribulation that you're facing. But instead of engaging in fear, doubt, and unbelief, instead of getting into a place of worrying, you start praising. And as you're praising God, he's behind the scenes working that thing out for you. That's how you have to look at it. While you are engaging, while you're being about God's business, God is being about your business. So, you know, and this is something that I practice. You know, that's why I tell people, you know, when they ask me how I'm doing, I tell people I've never had a bad day. It doesn't mean that you don't have bad moments in a day, but you shouldn't let that one moment ruin your whole day. Don't let one instance, you know, if somebody cuts you off and you spend the rest of the day talking about it. Everybody you talk to, I can't believe somebody cut me off today. You get to work, I can't believe somebody cut me off. You go home, I can't believe somebody cut me off. You get on the phone with your friends, I can't believe somebody cut me off. And you let that one thing bother you that whole day. And that person that cut you off ain't even thinking about you. So instead of worrying about all that stuff, just start praising. See, you, just like Brother O, he has his go-to songs that he knows will prick his spirit. He knows that. I'm the same way. I have a certain set of songs for whatever occasion that I'm in that I know if I'm ready to praise, if I want to get up and move around, I know what praise songs to listen to. If I want to get into that quiet place and I just want to get into a place of worship, I know what songs to play. You have to, and whether it be hymns, whether it be up-to-date music, you know, up-to-date gospel, contemporary gospel, whatever it is, just get into that place. Stop looking at, oh, well, that's secular and stuff like that, because God is the creator of everything. The only thing that the enemy creates is confusion. That's the only thing he's able to create is confusion. We'll continue with the work that's done right after this.
I know this is a big city, but I want you to clap your hands like you're from North Carolina, like you're from Durham, North Carolina. Come on. Yeah.
about the best of y'all. But that song right there, see, John P. Key, he will get you up and on your feet. I'm trying to tell you. See, that's the kind of stuff that I listen to whenever I be going through stuff. I'll play some John P. Key. Woo! Hey, listen, let's go to the phone lines. We got a caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, it's Jerry Petito, Pastor. How are you?
What's up, Miss Jerry? How are you tonight?
I'm okay. So I want to tell you a really cute, funny story that happened to me today with praise. But before I do, I want to give a shout-out to you, to Brother O, and to his parents. First and foremost, I want to thank you for what you're doing for O&E, because I know I personally need your shows. So I want to thank you for that. And I'm so happy your show is tonight, Easter weekend. I mean, come on, okay? God had his hand in that. I want to give a shout-out to Brother O as well for, you know, rededicating his life to Christ. And I believe wholeheartedly it's because of his beautiful parents, because they never let go of him, okay? So first to his mom, his beautiful mother, man. She was a tough lady, but guess what? She did the job. And she's up there now resting in eternal peace. And to his father, Reverend Lonnie A. Beverly, I mean, think about that lifestyle that Brother O was thrown into, but look where it led him, right? So, listen, his parents are definitely up in heaven, resting in eternal peace forever, and that's where he will be too. He will one day be there with his parents. So I had to just say that. But I want to tell you a cute little story that happened just today with praise music. I can't believe that's what you're talking about. So not only do I love music, I love praise music, and I love Elvis Presley. So I'm supposed to meet my friend and her daughter at this little diner, Daphne's Diner, in my town. It's one of those old-fashioned Jersey diners. There's only 12 tables in it, and now they have a few tables outside when the weather is nice. Parking lot is really tiny, right? I get there, and my friend texts me. She's not going to be there for 15 or 20 minutes, and I have on my radio with Sirius Radio Elvis, and what are they playing today? All gospel. Well, I'm out of my mind, and I open my windows in this tiny little parking lot with all these little tables of people, and they are cracking up laughing and dancing at their tables. Okay,
wow.
My friends finally pull up. They get out of the car. They walk over. They are cracking up, and they're dancing towards me. So we get out, and everybody's like, that was amazing. I'm like, that is Elvis gospel today for Easter weekend.
Mm.
It was unbelievable. And now you're talking about the music.
But, first, let me say about what you said about Brother O, you know, rededicated his life and how his parents prayed for him. You know, the Bible says that train up a child in the way it should go, and when they're older, they won't depart from it. If you notice, it never gives an age to what older is, because it's not talking about age, it's talking about maturity. It's talking about spiritual maturity when they get older, when they come to a level of understanding. That's what it means. You know, and people think that, age, you know, I can't remember as a child, I can't wait till I'm 18, because you thought 18 was some magical number that was somehow going to make you, you know, all-knowing and all-wise, and it didn't mean anything. Oh, well, what about when I get 21 or 25, and you keep going for these numbers? It doesn't mean anything. You have to be spiritually mature. And when he got to that point and he understood, man, I'm in need of a Savior, because we struggle through life, and some of the struggles, like I was saying before, are brought on by our own, you know, method. You know, now as far as the praise, you know, see how God used you as an instrument in that parking lot to prick the spirits of the people that were around you. And all it took was for you to roll down your window and turn that music up.
I rolled
and
down
it
all
ignited
the windows.
See, it ignited something that was already ready to be ignited in them. You know, that's powerful.
I want to share one more thing about praise music, okay? And I could say this because it's you. And again, you know, people who know me, my daughter-in-law is black, my granddaughter's part black, so I can say this. When I was growing up, we went to Catholic church, and I left the Catholic church. You know, I gave my life to Christ, and then I would go to the Christian churches, right? Okay. But we had a, they used to call them the black churches, and we had a black church in my town, and I loved it. Once a month, I had to go there. You know why? I had to get my fix with the worship music. And they used to laugh at me. I'm like, nope, got to get my fix. And I would walk in, and everybody knew me, and they were like, come on. And I said, I'm here for my fix. And the worship praise music was amazing.
Yes. But, you know, again, it's whatever your heart's desire. See, if you desire that, then go for that. Some people are against. Some people desire the hymn. Some people desire the Catholic style.
No.
Some people desire that. And listen, whatever you do it as unto the Lord. Amen. But listen, I want to thank Sister Jerry for calling in tonight. We got to get to this next track, and we'll be back here.
Happy Easter. Thank you.
You too.
Open door of heaven, I discovered you're my friend.
Bless me.
I've got the talent.
Bless me.
Yes, you blessed me. All right, welcome back to The Work Is Done. Tonight we're talking about the true originator, how God is the true originator. And it's our job to take back, you know, the things that the devil has stolen. You know, when we think about it that way, you look at what this season represents. You know, this is, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ. Christ came to sacrifice his life to take back what the devil stole. He stole the power from Adam and Eve that God given them, the dominion and the authority. And that's why Jesus came, to take back what he stole. Amen. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. We have another caller. Caller, welcome to The Work Is Done. What's your name and where you calling from?
Hey, peace, peace, and abundant divine blessings, man of God. How you doing tonight?
I am awesome. Brother Magic Man, how are you tonight?
Man, you know, if I didn't know any better, I think you, the woman of God, Jerry Petito, and Hall of Fame four-time, were y'all trying to have some church tonight or something, or is it just me?
Listen, we trying to get into the presence.
Look, all praise is due. As I like to say, all in all, who's in all, through all, above, and a comparison all, but, you know, otherwise, we know the Heavenly Father of us all, right? And
right.
I got a special message I want to give Hall of Fame four-time. His sister, Val, Mrs. Felton, said that you're taking her back to how it is on Sunday morning. So she's, you know, about ready to catch the Ghost Holy up in here. Hey, man of God, hey, if you don't mind, one more thing I want to share. I'm going to show you how the Holy Spirit is really, really working. I want to give honor and thanks to the homemaker, the wife of the Reverend Lonnie A. Beverly Sr. of Holy Trinity Church of God in Christ in Bayonne, New Jersey. Now, I might be mispronouncing that, but here's what I found after that. I looked up that area, and here's what I found. It says, before the arrival of Europeans, Bayonne was the home of Lenny. Sounds like Lonnie, don't it?
Right.
Native Americans. Okay. Now, to, you know, as a person who studied languages, you remove the vowels, it's the same thing. So bottom line is, I don't think that's an accident or a coincidence, man of God. What you think?
Hey, listen. Everything is relevant if you're able to see it for what it is. And you know, there are times where you have a group of people who like to cover up, ignore, hide the heritage and the lineage of people or its origin and replace it with other knowledge. And I think that's about as clean as I can say it, if you understand what I mean. But, yeah,
yes,
that's that
power.
Yes, I do. That's that knowledge that we need to be seeking.
Yes, and to me it's also a confirmation, because it's a long story, but to give you what spoke about the Dutch coming 1500s. Now, most of the times I come up here, and sometimes on my own show and other people's shows, I always mention about the 400-year prophecy that Bathsheba Genesis always speaks about. Chapter 15, verse 13, where it speaks about the children of Abraham or the descendants of Abraham will be taken in bondage for 400 years. And it's already been confirmed many times over, right? Matter of fact, it just went into law right here in Nashville, Tennessee, that they're going to make it a federal holiday for Juneteenth, commemorating the 400 years of bondage to African Americans that was in bondage. You understand? So to me, that's all part of prophecy and all part of that good news that you're sharing with us tonight. And I definitely wanted to add that in. And I hope you didn't mind me doing that.
Not at all. And, you know, see, when you talk about Abraham and his descendants and how it was prophesied that they were going to go into that 400-year period of slavery, not only that, but if you look at what the word says about how when they kept rebelling And because of the rebellious nature, that they were going to be scattered throughout the world. We are the descendants of that scattering. And we'll have to get into that another time. We can't blow the people minds, Magic Man. We can't give them too much. But see, that's why these shows are important. Your show, my show, Jerry's show, all the shows on O&E, because it addresses various topics. There's something for everybody on here. And the good thing about it, you know, if you tune in and you don't like what you're hearing on one particular day, tune out. Call back in on another. Tune back in, because I guarantee you, you will find something on this network that floats your boat. We got another track by this international Hall of Famer, DJ Brother O. We'll be back right after this.
Out of all the things you've taught me, out of all the things you brought me, I just want to say thank you. Could change my mind, stay there just in time. I want to say thank you.
I just want to say, thank you. Keep
on your life. Back to me. I wanna take the time to say thank you. Now my faith is on fire. Haters are calling me a liar. I'm gonna take the time and say thank you.
You gave me joy.
Yeah.
All right. You know, as we're about to wind down this show for tonight, and I just want to leave you with a couple of things. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8, it says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever you sow, that you shall reap." A lot of times people just, when they hear that, they think about money. Oh, he's talking about sowing. He must be talking about money. But that's not what it says. It says, whatsoever a man sows. Your praise and your worship is something that you are sowing to God. That means you're planting that seed. Your worship is your seed. And when you sow, you reap. Anything you plant, anything, that's what he's talking about. Whatever it is that you're planting, that is the harvest that you're going to get back. So if you're planting seeds of discord and hatred and anger, that's why you live in the state that you live in of anger and discord and people backbiting, because those are the seeds that you're sowing. You're really reaping the harvest that you yourself has planted. And that's what I was talking about earlier. People want to blame the devil all the time. Oh, but the devil, oh, but the devil. The devil is not everywhere all the time. So a lot of times people need to stop blaming him and take responsibility for your own actions. And then when you read Colossians chapter 3, it says in verse 23, "And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men." Your praise is for God. It's not for men. It's not for mankind. And you don't do it to be seen. You know, Sister Jerry, when she was talking about, you know, being in that car in that parking lot, you know, she put her windows down. It wasn't really, I don't believe it was really to be seen of the people. It was like, man, she was in that moment of, man, I'm in this place of worship, and I want to share this place of worship that I'm in. I want to share it with those that are around. And look what happened. She was getting the harvest of the people that was sitting there. Now, you don't know. It could have been one of those people that was sitting there who heard that and went home and gave their life to God. You don't know what seeds you're planting all the time. But you have to be somebody that's willing to plant. But when we talk about your worship, whether you like hymns, whether you like country gospel, Elvis gospel, contemporary gospel, whatever it is, use that for your glory and give it all to God. Because that's what you were created to do. You were created to worship him. And he says, those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. We were created to worship. And if you don't believe me, try it. Find some gospel tunes that you like and really, like, allow them to get you to that place where, man, you're in the presence of God. And watch things start to turn around for you. I guarantee it. Watch things turn around, because it'll change your outlook. It'll change your perspective and how you see things. It's just like they try to blame violence on gangster rap and how they say, oh, it influences people. Allow this type of music to influence your worship. Take back what the enemy has stolen. And then give it back to God. Let's bring on the man, the myth, the legend, Brother O.
Well, first of all, I want to thank you so much for what you do for us on a constant basis since 2019, this wonderful show. The work is done by Pastor Kevin Perry. Tomorrow night, we come back on for our Saturday shows. Miss Christine Powell, as she's just tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Daylight Time right here at WBNN. We are advertising through Ngozi Time, multimedia. And of course, we're at Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest at Ngozi Time. Ola Dulla Malaria Ngozi at Facebook. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ola Day Layback goes to mygmail.com, and I am. Your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dulla Malaria Ngozi, saying goodnight, good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Forces Radio, the supporters on a constant basis. And now the invitation to discipleship and our final thoughts from Pastor Kev at this moment.
All right. You know, every show is not going to be about doom and gloom.
You know, I tell you guys all the time, you know, my goal here is to bring enlightenment, to give you something to consider, to ponder, to think on. It may change your life. You know, a lot of you have tried various things, various religions. You know, I'm not here to preach to you a religion. I myself don't believe in religion, but I do believe in relationship. You have to have a relationship with God. It's just like establishing relationships down here on earth. God is, he wants you to talk to him. He wants to be a part of your life. Religions come with traditions and tactics and antics and all that stuff, and I don't even get into all of that. But when you talk about establishing a relationship, God wants to have a covenant with you. That's the highest form of promise that you can make. And he wants that with you. And if you haven't tried him, what is it that you have to lose? Nothing. But I can tell you one thing for sure. There's a whole lot more for you to gain. And if that's you tonight, and you say, man, I'm tired of trying to do things my way, and everything that I try doesn't work and I keep failing, but let me finally try God. Just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Cleanse me of unrighteousness. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit. Thank you for saving my soul. Fill me with your power that I may be an overcomer and victorious. In Jesus' name, amen. And it's just that simple. Now, the only thing you have to do is begin to build your relationship. You build it through the studying of his word, through prayer, and through meditation. Talk to God, but then allow him to talk back. Amen. Hey, I'm Pastor Kev. This is The Work Is Done, product of WNBB Radio. We'll be back in 4 weeks with The Work Is Done. Until then, God bless. Love you guys. Have a good one.